Now, as usual at this time, it's my pleasure to welcome back Carl Berry. And Carl has a story this week, which I think is all about the Wild Man of Orford. What on earth's that all about, Carl?
Well, it's fishermen drag a man out to the sea, and he's like nothing anyone's seen before.
Oh, well, let's hear the story then. Sounds fascinating.
Off the coast of Orford, it was a grey day. It was a sort of day when water and sky were almost the same colour. But of course the fishermen had to be out at sea, whatever the weather. And they were casting their nets, trying to catch as many fish as possible before the storm. The nets went down and before long, one boat began to rock alarmingly. Something big was caught. It took four strong men to haul in that net, and when they hauled it in completely, they saw a strange thing tangled within the net. A great hairy man who was struggling to free himself. But the more he struggled, well, the more entangled he became in the net, and until it was impossible for either he or the fisherman to free him easily. The hair on his chest was green, and his chest was embedded with seashells. As they watched, his eyes rolled in his head, and fear filled them. The fisherman tried calming him with kind words, but all he got in return were grunts and indecipherable noises. They all agreed no one had ever seen such a creature before. Leaving him tangled in the nets, they rowed towards the shore. Their plan was to carry this strange catch to the castle and Lord Granville. They rowed and they rowed. They pulled the boat up on shore and they carried the net with the hairy man inside up, up towards the castle and to Lord Granville's hall. There, the Lord and his guests were all at dinner. Knives were brought, the net was cut, and the man stood tall, held by five strong fishermen. Girls and ladies blushed as the fishermen dragged him towards Lord Granville, blushed at the sight of this naked man. The lady of the house, who had been throwing titbits to a dog, threw some meat towards this strange creature, who ignored it. She motioned to the man to the table. She pointed to the food. And he walked to the table. He ignored the venison, the beef and ham. Instead, he picked up a raw fish and greedily ate it, the juices running down his chin. He crunched on the bones and ate the fish whole, bones and all. Lord Granville stood and said, "This is no Christian creature, I believe. We must take him tomorrow to see the priest." And that night he was down in the cells of the castle, the strange hairy man from the sea. And they took him in the morning to the church, to the priest. But this man neither knelt nor bowed his head to the cross. He was indeed no Christian man. Thinking him no better than an animal, they put him in a cage and hung him upside down outside the castle walls. Children would throw stones and poke him with sticks. But it was obvious to all that he was becoming weaker, possibly dying. And then someone had the bright idea of putting him back in the water, not so he could get away, you understand, but so perhaps, well, he might feel a little better. Three nets were strung across the river mouth to prevent him escaping. They wanted to see what his reaction was to being put back in the water. They wanted to see if he could swim. The fishermen could not swim. They believed that anyone who could swim must be in league with the devil, and that might explain why he had not bowed his head to the cross in the church. And so he was taken down to the water, to the river estuary. And he was placed in the water, and as soon as he was in the water, he swam freely. He dived deep, deep, deep under the nets, under the first net, leapt over the second, swam under the third, and swam off in total freedom, out into the sea once more. He turned and looked back to the shore, and he saw all the people on the shore waving their arms, whether in anger or to say farewell, I cannot say. But the man, seeing them waving, lay on his back and lifted his own arm in one final wave. And then he dived beneath a great wave and was gone, never to be seen again.
Now, Carl, I am very surprised that the fisherman couldn't swim. Doesn't say that ship got wrecked, that would be a bit of a problem, would it?
Well, funnily enough, many sailors, certainly in time of Nelson, didn't swim. I'm not sure if Nelson could, actually.
Really?
Thinking about it. But many sailors in the Royal Navy, merchant seamen, fishermen, no, they didn't swim. I mean, this story comes from Ralph of Coggleshall.
Yes.
He collected many stories. It's a strange story, a bit like the Green Children from Suffolk.
Right.
Which I believe he also collected. It's a strange, strange story. I think it might have been a story told as a lesson to how you should treat people, but I'm not sure, because it has elements of the Green Children to it.
Now, Orford is really in Suffolk as well, is it not?
No.
Oh, it's not.
I believe
Orford,
it's on the border.
I think it's Orford Ness. Maybe.
I think it's on the border.
Oh, is it? Right. Okay.
But anyway, it's in my Essex Book of Folk Tales.
Okay.
So maybe it's in the Book of Folk Tales because Ralph of Coggleshall collected
it. Yes,
it is Orford Ness. It's that way. Anyway,
yes.
My geography of Essex is not as good as it might be. if it's just in Suffolk, then I apologise.
No problem. So what is your story for next week?
Well, the next story I'm going to tell is a story I've long wanted to learn. And it's called The Last Mountain in Essex.
The Last Mountain in Essex. I didn't even know we had a first one. All right, thank you very much indeed. We shall look forward to that, Carl.
Right, no problem at all.